consecuencia de la masacre de la Embajada de España que ustedes oyeron ayer, pero también hay una sentencia condenatoria al general Ríos Montt. Ambos casos todavía tienen muchas dificultades, tienen muchos procesos. En el caso de Ríos Montt, la Corte de Constitucionalidad cometió una ilegalidad. La discusión que hay actualmente no es legal. Rompió todos los procesos que tenía que cursar y por eso pues hay una dificultad jurídica. Todo lo que quieren es impedir que haya que la sentencia quede en firme.
Yes, there are two guilty verdicts that have been issued in this courthouse. First, the guilty verdict for the Spanish embassy massacre, and secondly, the guilty conviction of Ríos Montt. In both cases, we're seeing that there are significant legal challenges. The Constitutional Court has declared the case against Ríos Montt has been annulled, but these are illegal arguments. They are breaking with due process, and so both cases face significant legal challenges and hurdles to stick.
Pam Yates, if you could tell us further about what's happening with Ríos Montt right now, the man who was president from 82 to 83, what he was convicted of, why he's back in trial, and as we wrap up, how this implicates, or does it, the current president of Guatemala, Pérez Molina, and the role of the United States?
That's a lot, Amy. And buenos días, Rigoberta. The case against Ríos Montt, he is being retried on the same charges of genocide and crimes against humanity. But his lawyer's strategy is to delay and deny. Delay so that he will never go to prison. He's 88 years old. They hope he will die before that. But isn't it incredible that the people of Guatemala now have successfully adjudicated these two cases, one for genocide, the first ever of a perpetrator of genocide against indigenous people in the Americas. Never happened before.
That was Ríos Montt.
That was Ríos Montt. And now
the verdict set aside?
The verdict was set aside, but for so many people in Guatemala, the verdict is valid. And, you know, the quest for justice is justice. So the fact that people came into the courtroom and spoke for 2 months about what had actually happened in Guatemala in both the Ríos Montt genocide case and the Pedro García Arredondo case, the burning of the Spanish embassy, really contributes to the historical narrative and setting the record straight about what happened in Guatemala so everyone knows what actually happened and no one is afraid to talk about it.
And the U.S. role?
The U.S. role, well, the U.S. was totally complicit in the genocide in Guatemala. And we now have the documentation to prove it. When Ríos Montt was being tried for genocide, the Ministerio Público, the public ministry, like the Attorney General's office, had a very narrow focus on one particular region and one particular group of ethnic Maya, the Maya Ishil. But many other things were happening. Many other areas really need to be explored. The role of Otto Pérez Molina, the current president of Guatemala, the role of the United States. And I'm hoping now that the conviction in the Spanish embassy case will increase the momentum for this justice initiative to continue. More people have been tried, arrested, convicted of crimes that happened during the war in Guatemala in the last 4 years than in the previous 30 years. And I think the international community has to support that initiative.
Rigoberta Menchú, as we wrap up, do you hold the United States responsible, in addition to your own government at the time, the Guatemalan government and military?
Rigoberta, en conclusión, ¿usted considera que el gobierno de los Estados Unidos tiene alguna responsabilidad por esos acontecimientos, además, así como el gobierno de Guatemala en aquel entonces?
We only have 15 seconds.
Solamente tenemos 15 segundos.
Sí, totalmente. Hay mucha documentación de la Guerra Fría, hay mucha documentación de la participación, incluso el arma que se usó en la Embajada de España para quemar esa embajada, pues realmente es de dudosa procedencia. Vamos a continuar documentando. Hay una responsabilidad del Estado y hay una responsabilidad de Estados Unidos.
Yes, I totally concur. There is a great deal of documentation that has been compiled, part of it related to the Cold War. And in fact, the weapon that was used to incinerate the Spanish embassy and to burn those that occupied it is also of a dubious source that is being looked into and documented. So in conclusion, I do hold not
we have
only
to leave
the
it
state
there.
Of
I'm
Guatemala,
Goodman with Aaron Mate.
It is 6 p.m. and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 6:03 p.m. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, along with Kyle.
Hi.
This time, we're going to be bringing you a program we recorded last spring in Spain. We're on a train in Spain, and we're leaving Spain, heading towards Portugal. But it was after we had had quite an adventure in that country. We had been to Madrid, mm-hmm. We had been to Granada, and we had gone to this other city whose name I still can't remember.
Yes.
So, at this point, where we join the action, we are on a train heading out, it's an overnight train, to Lisbon, and we are basically recounting what we did.
Yeah, and it was really interesting because we waited for quite a while in this train station, and each of us ventured out on our own to just explore the city. Gosh, why don't we know the name? This is terrible.
Because we only know a couple of, we're only limited to remembering two cities of any country.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
We really have to. We have to have that rule because otherwise it would just be unfair to us.
You know what's funny, though? When we begin, we're going to be talking about how we can't remember the name of the city, and we're leaving the city at that point. We don't even know the name of the city that we're in. So that's just the way we are. If you can bear with us and listen to this hour and write to us with your comments, otw@2600.com. We think you'll enjoy it.
And maybe you can tell us the city.
That's right. Next week, we'll still be in Spain. I think we'll still be on the same train, but we'll be a little further along. So we hope you enjoy. You mind if I shut this door?
Yeah, we'll do it quietly.
Okay. I don't know why we have to do it quietly, but let's do it quietly.
Okay, no, just shut it. Shut the front door.
Wait, it won't close for some reason.
What's up with this user error?
Your shoe is blocking it. That's what's happening.
Your shoe.
There. And I locked it. We're on a train. Hasn't left yet. It's about to leave. We're on a train from... Where are we, Kyle?
I don't quite know how to pronounce it. It starts with a V. It's like Vladivostok.
It's like Vladivostok, except it's not. It's in Spain, and it's Vala something. And I feel terrible. I feel so ignorant not knowing how to pronounce names. But it's a city in northern Spain, and we're on our way to Lisbon. But you can't say Lisbon in Spain because nobody knows what you're talking about. And they probably don't in Portugal either. You got to say Lisboa.
Lisboa.
Spelled L-I-S-B-O-A, not B-O-N. And that's the capital city of Portugal. And we're taking an overnight train from this place that we are so ignorant we don't even know the name of to a capital of a country that we say wrong.
Correct.
And the train leaves at 23:22. Do you have a time check, Kyle? You have a clock on your hand.
Yeah, it's 23:20 and 4 seconds on my clock now.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's
Let's keep an eye on that, and let's see how accurate this train actually is.
I will note that when we arrived at this station earlier today, I looked at the station clock, and my watch was only 6 seconds behind the station time.
Yeah, but did the train actually observe that clock? I don't think it did. Not in Madrid, anyway, because people were getting on the train kind of late.
I cannot verify that, but I felt really good about my watch being so close to time here when I wasn't really adjusting it at all during our trip.
Well, okay, I'm happy for you as far as that goes, but as far as the actual train leaving, we were 2 minutes late, and that really appalled me. It's funny because, you know, back home, Long Island, you can get on the first stop, Port Jefferson, on the Long Island Railroad, and the train will be late leaving the first stop.
Like 21.
21 minutes after 23, which means 11:21 p.m. At night. Yeah, but we're moving actually early. Are you sure your clock is that right, that correct? I think maybe you might need an adjustment there, because otherwise we left a minute early.
All right, I'll look at a telephone that turned off because it turns off at 11. But...
That's right, your phone has a curfew.
It does. Okay, 23:22 on the phone. So... I think we're on time.
I think the engineer probably has a clock that's really... But the point is, we left on, if not on time, then early. We did not leave late. And this is a train that's going to be traveling all night long. And it's just, why can't we do this, you know? Every country we've been to in Europe pretty much gets it as far as making trains run on time. And also, we're rolling now. We've recorded... commuter trains and I think even Amtrak on this show before, and it's always noisy, and it's not quiet, and you can't tell, listeners, how smooth this ride is, but it's really, really smooth. You can almost not tell you're moving, and I don't know why our trains are so rough and loud and dirty. And that noise, by the way, was Kyle trying to close the medicine cabinet over our sink, and a bottle of water fell out. Yeah, we have a medicine cabinet, a sink, and a bottle of water, all of which were supplied by Renfe, which is probably not the way you pronounce the train company here.
Which is the best nationwide rail company in Spain.
It's really the only nationwide rail company in Spain.
That's beside the point.
All right.
You know, it's people like you
that state facts and try to be accurate. Well, okay.
It run the good Renfe name through the mud.
We have, by the way, a telephone in this room. I don't know why there's a telephone in this room.
We each have a telephone. Each bunk has its own telephone.
Oh, really? We both have telephones. Maybe they're from bunk-to-bunk communications.
I would love that, but I highly doubt it.
Did you pick up the phone?
I did briefly, but I didn't actually put it to
I'm going to look at the phone. Hopefully it doesn't auto-dial. No, it's not ringing. It just says... T-E-G-U-I. What do you see? I think that's a button in the middle, right?
It could be a button in the middle.
And there's an earpiece and a mouthpiece. I'm not sure what it's for. I can't hang it up now. Okay. It's kind of strange. But anyway, yeah, we're taking this overnight train from Spain to Lisbon, because we have to be back in Portugal to get back home, because that's where we flew into.
Correct.
Actually, we flew there, and then we flew to Amsterdam. So it's kind of a weird flight that we had. We had a stopover in Lisbon, and now we're going back from Lisbon. And hopefully we get to spend some time there as well, because we really haven't spent any time in Portugal except for that layover that we had. Before this, though, we had some fun with the Spanish train system. We got very frustrated at first because we wanted to go... there's a lot of frustration this trip. Maybe we'll backtrack on it, but let's start in Barcelona. We wound up in Barcelona, and we had to go to Madrid. We had things to do in Madrid. We had to be there by a certain time, and we looked into getting a train ticket from Barcelona to Madrid, and we were astounded by how expensive it was. Flabbergasted. Outraged. Incensed. Various other words.
Livid.
Livid. Surprised.
Irate.
Yeah, definitely irate. Most definitely. And we had gone to one of these machines. They have many machines in the train stations that you buy tickets from. Of course, when you use American credit cards, there are all kinds of problems both with humans and machines. We'll get into that at some point, but in this particular case, I was like, oh, well, that's not really the word I use, but we don't really have a choice. We have to get to Madrid. We're in Barcelona, and we're in a train station, so we damn well better buy tickets, even though it's insanely expensive. And we're talking something like about 200 euro each. Really, really expensive. Actually, no, I think I'm exaggerating a bit. I think it was something like 130 each, which is a lot. That's about $200 each.
It worked out to be like 353 total.
Was that what it was?
I think it was like closer to 180 each or 160 each.
Well,
we tried a couple variations too, to be fair.
What we did was we said, okay, we have to buy these tickets, so we might as well. And I put my card in the machine to buy the tickets. And like so many other times on this trip, my card was not accepted.
Denied.
Not rejected per se, but just not understood. We have a credit card system in the United States that is different from the credit card system in Europe. The credit card system in Europe uses something known as chip and pin, where basically you slide your card in, it's got a chip on the end, and
as opposed to on your shoulder.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. As opposed to a mag stripe, which our credit cards have. Now, this system is something they've had for a while here in Europe, and it's more secure. I don't really exactly understand how it's more secure, but I know it is.
I've heard both. I've heard that it's not, because we actually have signatures, and if somebody gets your PIN and can clone your card, you're out of luck. But that's neither here nor there. Continue.
All right. Well, not all the cards have pins, though, right?
I mean, we're speeding up.
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell, but we are going fast. The other thing is, trains here go pretty fast. The train we took up here from Madrid was going 252 kilometers an hour, which is even faster than we drove on the Autobahn, which is something that we did in a previous program.
So here you are at this machine in Barcelona. You're on your last kind of at wit's end with this machine. Like, okay, fine, if that is all I can do, let's just do that. Like, put the card in. Let's just make this as painless and go as quickly as possible. Here you are putting this Magstripe card into this machine, and it was taking it. It wouldn't let it out. I think you were pulling because it wanted it, but then it was failing. And I think you finally let it go in, and then even that didn't work.
Yeah, it was a real tussle there in the station. Sometimes I just have bad days, and that was definitely a bad day because it was too much money. The card was being treated with disrespect. I just wasn't feeling like things were going all that well. And so after a while, it just basically said, no, your card is no good. Your card is not a card. It's not accepted as a card at this machine. So what do we do then? We said, okay, we have to go to a human. But something also changed at some point because we decided to look into alternatives, right? Did we do it then, or did we decide to simply postpone this?
Well, we were aware of, I think we either stepped out and discussed, I think we went out and had a bit of a break. We sat on some benches and we were looking on the websites, looking around at different things, and we found, this was all from a smartphone, we found out about this thing that would be an alternative, that would give us a couple trips for a flat rate. It's what's known as a Spain Pass.
Spain Pass. Now, we had heard of things, and I've never actually done this. There's the Eurail Pass, and there's the Interrail Pass. And the Interrail is for people who live in Europe or European citizens, which I could qualify for. And then the Eurail is for everyone else, I guess, American citizens included. But it just seemed, you know, too expensive. And you have to be traveling a whole lot for that to work out, like a couple of months. It costs something like $800 to have a pass. And I'm told when you have the pass, it doesn't always work. For instance, if you're taking a train from Paris to anywhere else, they only have a very limited number of seats for Eurail or Interrail type passengers. So much so that many of them wind up buying tickets anyway just to get out because they can't otherwise. If there are only like 3 tickets available on the entire train for Eurail, it's a big scam. And I just never kind of bought into that. But the Spain Pass was different because it was simply Spain. And we saw that there's a whole lot of options. There's a timed option. There's a number of trips option. We saw that if we bought a 4-trip option on the Spain Pass, we'd be spending only a little bit more than what this ticket from Barcelona to Madrid would cost, maybe about 20 euro more. And we would get 3 more train rides out of it.
Exactly.
And at the time, I was saying, Kyle, we haven't given Barcelona a chance. We were under all this time constraint. We were only there a night. There's so much to love in this city, and we really deserve to experience that.
True.
And I was saying, you know, we could go to Madrid, come back to Barcelona, then go back to Madrid again on our way back to Lisbon, and still have another ride left.
This might be the ticket, just the ticket for us.
And, of course, we didn't wind up doing exactly that, but we did get the Spain Pass, and we did get 3 more train rides, of which this is not one of them. The reason why, overnight trains, international trains, they don't count, all right? They don't count as one of the 4 journeys you can take on your Spain Pass.
Correct.
And also, if you have to switch trains, that counts as 2 journeys. I learned a lot about this, more than I've ever learned before. Every country has their own system.
We also learned how to do reservations online with our Spain Pass, and pretty much all the subtleties of it. And I will add that this is not a small task. The RENF site is actually well known, and it's documented on the internet that for being incredibly difficult to use, and so much so that there's a company that specializes in booking stuff on behalf of people who can't understand the site, which I believe is how we were able to get the Spain Pass in the first place.
Do you remember the name of that site?
Petrobax.
Petrovax?
Petrobax. PETRABAX.com.
Okay, and the Spain train site is Renfe, RENFE.com. And I remember what we did was, yeah, we bought the Spain Pass online. We used we used our internet connectivity from the place we were staying, and we went on to the English site.
It was a bit dicey, too, because the site said that it took up to 24 hours.
Well, we didn't see that until after we bought the ticket.
Yeah.
Or bought the passes, and we had to go the next day. And here's this little notice saying, yeah, it can take... you'll get it within 24 hours. We need to be leaving within 10 hours. So that didn't work for us. So we actually wound up... did we call them? Or did they call... no, we called them. There's a number.
Yes.
In the States. It was an 800 number. And you can call 800 numbers from here, but you have to pay for them. And so I did that. And I wound up speaking to a guy there. And it was a first for him. He had never heard of such a case where somebody really wanted to get a ticket or a pass that quickly. But he did everything he could to help us, and sure enough, a couple hours later, we had our passes. We had them emailed to us, and then then the next challenge was, okay, here we have these passes on our computer, but they don't take passes on computers when you get on trains. You have to have it printed out. So how in God's name do we print out this ticket that's on our computer? We went through this in Prague a few years ago, where we were getting a bus ticket, and we had it online, and we couldn't find anybody to print out what was on our computer. We couldn't even hand them a thumb drive. Nobody trusted our files, and probably, you know, rightfully so. But how do you do this? People don't usually travel with printers, so we couldn't figure out exactly what that would be all about. So we knew we had a big challenge the next day when we went to the train station. We were able to book tickets. You have to actually book tickets in addition to the pass. The tickets don't cost anything. Reservations. There's no extra charge for that, but you do have to make a reservation, and that counts as 1 trip. And you can cancel it if you don't go on that particular train within 15 minutes of the train leaving. But, again, you have to print out that as well. So we had a bit of a challenge ahead of us.
Hell, we had to print out a ticket in Strasbourg. Just this trip, we had to print out stuff.
Strasbourg, yeah. Okay, and that's going back to the French city we stayed in for a night, which actually... has a German name because it's right on the German border.
Yeah. Anyway, all of this trouble for the Spain passes was way better than nearly 400 euro for one trip. So we were into the challenge, we accepted it, and at the time, it really did seem like A, the best deal, and B, the best way to be flexible enough to maybe come back and visit some of the cities that we were breezing through based on some of the other constraints for the trip.
And we'd already been told that if you want to get the Spain pass, it's kind of funny how when we travel, we sort of override what we're told. But when we were in the train station in Barcelona, we were told that if you want the Spain pass, you have to be here at 10 in the morning, you have to wait on line 13, and you'll get you'll be able to get it then. And you'll be able to get your ticket then. Of course, our train was at 11 o'clock, so we knew that would be a pretty wild situation right there. So we did some research online, and we found that, yeah, we could buy it online. And we did buy it online. We got our ticket reservations online. We were all set. The only thing we didn't have were the actual tickets in our hand. And so we decided to get up fairly early and head to the station and do battle with the people there because we figured it might be a hassle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if we sound a little confused. Kyle has decided to turn off the lights in our cabin. It's pitch dark in here. We can see the sky. We can see the stars. We have a nice kind of bay window here.
Exactly.
It's really, really nice, except you can't tell when I'm pointing the microphone at you. That's how dark
it is. I don't care when you're pointing the microphone at me. Let your eyes adjust.
Well, yeah, my eyes are fine.
Mine are starting to adjust.
Yeah, so just assume that the microphone is pointed at you if you begin to speak.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. I hit myself in the face with the microphone. It's really, really dark in here. So we went down to the station that morning, the morning we were leaving, and what did we do?
Okay. All right.
This isn't a test. I thought, you know, we were
okay. So
remembering.
The morning of in Barcelona, mm-hmm. based on some of the things other people had told us, we wanted to buy the Spain pass from a human the day before, and one of the reasons we also chose the internet and doing it online as such with this other company was the time crunch. But basically the train station, anybody there really, they didn't acknowledge the fact that you could get a Spain pass on the internet, and they had this weird thing where like at 1600 or 1800 around 6 o'clock they would shut down the people that sell those tickets, and you would just have a queue for everybody else in the station because they shut down tickets altogether at 8 o'clock. So they told us to come back the next day. Well, obviously if our train's leaving, we needed to have something in hand, and it would have been a lot of hand motioning, and we might not have gotten the right reservation, let alone the Spain pass. So we chose the online route, had the guy talk to the guy, had him send the stuff to us. We had all of the correct details written down, ready to actually get the pass. We needed that printed out along with our reservations. And based on some of the inquiries before we really signed up online, we knew what counter would sell the Spain pass, and basically there's no ticket taking or anything for those windows. So we knew going into it, even though we had made reservations and we had the Spain pass, we knew that it was these particular, I think 17 through 21. It was sort of an odd set of numbers, but those were the windows you go to. We basically walk up and had electronic files, PDFs, on a smartphone. And
you figured out how to download them to the smartphone. That was pretty clever.
Yeah. There's some PDF viewers and stuff on a lot of smartphones these days, just as like a little productivity suite. And so we found those and were able to get them on screen. That was all the guy needed. So we were basically shoving the phone under this little glass partition. The guy grabbed it and entered in the pertinent or relevant numbers to get it on screen for him, and then he went ahead and printed it all out under his desk. He's got his ticket printer, and off we went. Basically, it took like 5-10 minutes. No real queue, no taking numbers. And taking numbers is a big thing in a lot of these Spanish cities.
And a lot of European cities, you got to take a number before you get served, and it can take a very, very long time. I guess we can talk about Madrid a little bit, because when we were in Madrid and we wanted to take our second trip, which involved going down to Granada, we had to we wound up getting three different numbers for ticket lines, because there were two different ticket offices. We weren't sure which one would be best, and you decided to get two sets of numbers for the same office, because one was for this day and one was for next day.
Yeah, well, reservations on other days.
And then there was another ticket office that just had one.
I had no idea, and you had to go deal with some logistical stuff, how do we say?
I had to do laundry. All right, I was doing laundry about... It was a 10-minute walk down a few blocks, and so during the wash cycle, we walked up to start the process of waiting. And the reason we couldn't use the machine is because the machine, for some reason, you can't use the Spain Pass. You can't get tickets using the Spain Pass, so you have to wait on a long line or do it online, and we weren't getting good internet where we were, so we weren't able to do that online. And even if we did do it online, we still couldn't print it out without going and waiting online and writing down our reservation number and having them print it out then.
All of this is stuff we've never done before. We figured every bit of this out through sporadic connectivity, through our own logistical things like having clean clothing and time crunches, having to be one place or the other. It's really a rodeo, but it kind of, I think this is like where we get, why we have such a zeal. Zeal, is that the right word? Zeal for travel?
It's the right word. Is that how you say it? Zeal, Z-E-A-L.
Zeal, yeah.
How else would you say it?
Yeah. Or it is a source of zeal. I don't know. But there's zeal definitely involved in these just bizarre things you end up learning and going through just to transport yourself. And in this case, enough steps closer to where you are going to depart the country and head home.
And, you know, I discovered that you had these three numbers, and it took a very long... We were talking about an hour and a half wait for any of the numbers to come up.
I was waiting, and I texted you. There were no less than 80 people for... a row of windows. They had 10 rows, three of which were occupied. So three attendants were helping 80 people.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because they have a customer service office as well. Uh-oh. Where there's a little line. There's a small line, but you don't have to take a number. And they can look up trains for you, can tell you all kinds of things. The one thing they can't do is sell you a ticket. So it's kind of frustrating when you talk, oh, we're pulling into a station. Where are we? Do you see the name of the station we're at?
Medina de Campo.
Okay. I have no idea where that is, but somewhere in Spain.
But these customer service people, they're hilarious, because you go and ask them and you tell them, like, hey, you know, it's really packed. I was a little haughty. I was a little upset. And I was asking the woman, could you tell someone to get some more attendance? There's a lot of people waiting. And she was telling me, well, would you like a form to fill out? And I said, your customer service, I'm telling you that you need more attendants to help. I said, can you help by selling tickets? Maybe you should go over there. She didn't like that.
Yeah, I wonder why. Wow. Well, you know, when you get livid, sometimes you get very direct with people, and customer service agents are not immune from that.
I think my fist accidentally brushed the table very quickly, and then as I was saying thank you.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean you knocked something over, or?
She might have perceived my thank you as my fist hitting the desk very quickly and abruptly.
Well, you are American, and that's part of our way of expressing ourselves. But at some point, though, wasn't she asking you if you wanted to file a complaint?
Yeah, it was after that I realized she was completely useless, because she was saying, do you want a form to fill out? I was like, no, I don't want a form. I'm talking to your customer service. Talk to your supervisor. Talk to anybody. I'm not going to sit here and fill something out to express my complaint. That's why I'm here. I'm talking to you. I said, are you customer service? Can you help with customer needs? I mean, why would I fill a form out if I'm complaining to you?
Right.
What are you here for? It was really bizarre.
So we had a lot of time to do all these things while we were waiting for our numbers to come up. And that's really how it works in many European train stations. We made three different trips to the laundromat, one to start the cycle. And by the way, that whole laundromat thing was another scam. I lost a couple of euro in there as well and got ripped off as far as how much I had to spend. But, okay, so wash cycle, you walk to the train station, start the process, then you got to walk back because the whole thing takes 30 minutes. Takes you 10 minutes to walk to the station, 10 minutes to walk back, 10 minutes of fun in the station to make some progress. I went back, you stayed. The second time, I think you went back and I stayed. So wound up getting the laundry done, but didn't make much progress on the line. Then I discovered, while I was waiting, that you didn't have to take a number for same day in the other office.
I had no idea.
Well, the only reason I found that out was because I went up to this other line. All these people who were there for customer service to answer questions. This wasn't even in the office that you complained in. This was in one of the ticket offices that just had three people behind a table that would answer questions. And I said, I just noticed all these people. This was the line 13 that I'd noticed. All these people waiting in line 13, they didn't have numbers. And he said, yeah, if you're leaving today, just pick any line and wait there. I'm like, okay, I don't need this number then. So I basically waited in line, and within a few minutes, I was able to get tickets for that day to go to Granada, which is what our plan was.
Yeah, correct. Oh, boy. It's just a world. I'm getting exhausted just hearing about this.
It's an ordeal.
I mean, what did you even think of Madrid? It was nice, right? I mean, it was a nice place. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's great. It's an amazing city. We didn't really have enough time to do the things. We had a lot of scheduling things we had to do. And I like to spend more time there. Just kind of relax and explore. We didn't get to do that.
Me too. Me too. I feel the same way. It was too much of a whirlwind. We saw bits and pieces, but it was kind of more work than it should have been. And we did get out. We tried a couple things, tapas places. Got a lot of education on how that whole system works, and then we did see a big football championship at a tapas place.
Oh yeah, we should mention that. No, we were there the night that Real Madrid played Atletico Madrid for the Champions League final in where we're going now, Lisbon, Portugal, and we were in the streets of Madrid while that was going on, completely unplanned, but we just happened to be there. And, you know, I got to say, I was rooting, and I think you were rooting too, for Atletico Madrid, only because they've never won the Champions League. They're more of the working class team as opposed to Real Madrid, who have this sort of entitlement complex. In fact, this is their 10th Champions League championship or something, and that's what they were going for. It meant so much to them to get the 10th, let alone, you know, it didn't matter that Atletico didn't ever have one in the first place. Think of Yankees versus Mets. You know, Yankees have this entitlement, and they spend all this money, and the Mets, you know, they're basically lucky if they can make it through the season without without setting new records for bad things. So we were there that night, and after the game, this massive celebration. You knew there was going to be a celebration of one sort or another in the streets, because for the first time in history, both teams in the Champions League were from the same city. Being from the same country is rare enough. That happened last year in Germany. Between Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. Interestingly enough, when we were in Germany, those two teams met again for the German Cup, and we happened to be in Berlin when that game was happening.
It was like foreshadowing for this Madrid final.
And I didn't even know that game was happening until we were there.
It was so weird.
Yeah, weird things seem to happen like that. The streets of Madrid just came alive afterwards. There was this massive celebration that lasted all night long. It was cool.
Yeah, we walked up the kind of main street that had been closed off, and people just gathered in this plaza and celebrated. And I heard from some people, some friends, basically the trophy didn't arrive till very, very early in the morning. So we just got a taste of it right around midnight as people were kind of gathering and slowly processing to this area. And it was just a huge party all night.
Yeah, it was. A lot of kids out in the middle of the night celebrating. It was really a funny sight to see. But I should point out, you know, a lot of people think that soccer crowds are crazy and violent. Not the case at all in Madrid. Even though there were two teams that were fierce rivals, people got along, and it didn't matter what team you were for. It's one of those peaceful kind of rivalries, not like what you might see in England.
It was a success for Madrid, for Spain. It was just that kind of glee and adulation. No, wow.
Yeah, there's some adulation in there.
Amazement at the moment. I think everyone was just thrilled and just full of the spirit and whatnot. So we dove right in and enjoyed it with them. That was basically one of our big milestones for our short time in Madrid.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, I want to say a word or two about that whole diving in and taking part in something like that that's going on. A lot of people I know back home don't seem to get that. They reject things like, well, mass media, obviously, and spectator sports and things like that. This is not so simple. This is not just sitting down and watching a game and just pretending you're a part of the team or anything like that. This is something cultural, something global, and something really kind of uniting that people all over the world seem to join in. And when you're there, when you see something like that going on, I think it's silly not to be a part of it, not to at least recognize it and try to have fun.
This is so true. I believe in previous previous conversations we've had, you and I have been sitting at cafes, at bars, late night, in places as wild as Sarajevo, and guys are glued around the TV watching Champions League.
Yeah, right.
It's that big a deal that they may not have any teams in, but they have a player.
They had a player, yes.
Right? And to them, that's it. That's big. It's something to gather around. Just guys and people from across the European diaspora. Is that a word?
Yeah, I think so.
Diaspora.
Well, that too.
diaspora.
But that game, that's kind of a funny story too. Another funny story involving these games, which if you pay attention, there's a ton of funny stories that can happen. We were leaving for our Yugoslavian trip a number of years ago, and we saw a game being played on TV in JFK Airport. And it was, I remember it was Inter Milan versus somebody. I forget who they were playing.
Right.
It was the first leg. And first leg meaning at that particular stage of the tournament, you play one game in one team's stadium. You play a second game in the other team's stadium. And you add up the score. And at the end, whoever has the higher score wins. And there's all kinds of ways to decide ties and things like that. So we saw that game. And then when we were in Sarajevo a week or two later, the second leg of that game was being played in the other stadium. So it was like a continuation of that. And yes, like you said, the people were glued around the TV set because they had a player, there was a Bosnian player on, I think, the Italian team or something, or some other team, and everybody was following that team because of that one player. It's a door. It's a way into a conversation, a way to identify with people and just start conversations. And it's an amazing thing. So I would say to people, let's not be so judgmental about what it really means. You have situations in so many countries. I think I read in Germany they have something like 50,000 football teams. You know, ranging from
club teams,
minor teams to really major teams. Everybody takes part in this in some way. It's a cultural thing, and you really should try and understand the culture and realize that this culture speaks to so many nations throughout the world, and just that alone, it's like a language. It's like something unifying, and how can that be a bad thing?
It can't be a bad thing. But no, absolutely. It brings people together. People are invested in it. That's really it. They're really invested in it. It's investment in sport that is kind of a global phenomenon. And it's something maybe not to overlook. I think our tendency in the U.S. is to be a bit focused on things that are national. And it's kind of silly. I mean, there are countries that basically just have sports that are in their nation.
Well, that's it. I mean, in the States, you raise a good point. It's all about our one country. We have our version of football. We can't even call soccer football. We have to have our own sport called football, which doesn't even involve feet all that much. And then when there's a champion, that's it. We don't go beyond the country. With Champions League, it's just a European thing, and every country in Europe has a number of teams that could make it to the final, which is why, you know, two teams from the same city making it to the final is such an unusual thing. And this is the case globally, too, where you have a real world champion in the World Cup because all teams participate.
Well, or another example would be hurling in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, it's kind of like, it's basically national. It's not really, I mean, I could be way wrong, but that's a small kind of parallel to what we have in the U.S. with American football. Hurling's just a bunch of clubs around the nation, maybe in the U.K. as well, but it's sort of small and it's sort of just in that area. And we're the same way with football. And soccer, what we refer to as soccer, football elsewhere, is a much bigger thing. It's got many leagues, many different parts of the world participate, yeah, and are, as you said, invested. So that was a cool part of being in Madrid, and really magical timing for us to see that.
Yeah, and I should point out also tonight, before we got on our train, there was another game that came on while we were at a place having dinner. It was a friendly game. Friendly meaning sort of like an exhibition game, but they still pay close attention to this because it's national pride at stake. It was Spain playing Bolivia, and I think that's kind of a prelude to the World Cup, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks. It never ends. It's always something going on.
Back to our trip.
Oh, yeah, which one? We were on our way to Granada.
We were just buying a ticket in Barcelona, and then we were in Madrid,
yeah, now we're
also
going,
buying tickets.
Now we're going to Granada.
That's right.
Well, not now. Now we're going to Lisbon. But not when you're hearing this, probably.
We're still at station Medina del Campo. We're paused here. That's why we took a little bit of time to speak to Sport and some of the other attributes of travel. But as far as our Spain pass, which we're telling the story of, goes, we had to book our third trip getting out of Madrid, and this
the second trip was getting out of Madrid.
The
third trip was getting out of Granada.
That's right. So we booked in Madrid to go to Granada.
And, you know, I wound up making the same mistake 2 days in a row of diving into all of this without doing anything else. Basically woke up, ran down to the laundromat because, you know, I knew we had a train that we had to try and catch, so we didn't have that much time to do things. So just basically running and jumping into things without getting any coffee, without getting anything to start the day.
This was starting to take a toll.
It really was. And we found ourselves in Granada, and wouldn't you know, the exact same thing happened. Didn't wind up going to the train station, wound up going online and realizing that because we hadn't booked the train the day earlier, the train to Portugal the day earlier,
yes,
from Madrid, that train had sold out. And there was no way for us to get a train from Madrid to Portugal. And here I am in Granada trying to figure out, okay, first of all, how are we going to get from Granada back to Madrid? That was almost impossible. Those trains were sold out or non-existent. I was having all kinds of trouble with the website. But the real problem was couldn't find a train from Madrid to Lisbon, and I was at wit's end.
Yeah, that's a distressing feeling, especially when you have a flight to catch in a place you're nowhere near. We were looking at all kinds of options. We were looking down along the very southern coast and looking at taking buses up to the border and then maybe getting in a car and then going and taking another bus and then having another train to catch. I mean, it was getting crazy. We were really reaching.
There's talk of a boat at one point, I think, too. We were looking at all possibilities, and everything seemed to thwart us at some point. It's like, yeah, this could work, except there's no way to get there in order to take that train or make that connection. And, it was literally hours online trying to figure this out and getting increasingly frustrated. And yes, once again, starting the day without anything, any energy, any coffee, nothing to really get you strong enough to face these battles. Excuse me.
Let's check the...
Ray, can we cut for a little while? Just, yeah, I just want to take a break because we've been going nonstop, all right? You guys in the studio get something to drink, too?
All right, yeah, boys. We'll stop the tape. Why don't you guys take five and we'll put it back together here. All right, I'm going to go have a cigarette.
FM. Generación Europa FM. Europa FM, el mejor pop rock de los 90 hasta hoy.
Y seguimos en La Noche Es Nuestra, como siempre, animando tu madrugada hasta las 4, las 3. Buenas noches a todos esos vampis que están por ahí pululando. Como por ejemplo todos los que están en el Twitter, arroba la noche es nuestra, el hashtag es vampipiloto. A ver que se me acumula el trabajo por aquí. Bueno, Lady Mafia está con el cachondeo que hablábamos antes de la perla negra, que se ha hundido el barco. Dice, nada, nada, que la tripulación logró llegar a Tortuga sana y salva y ahogar sus desgracias en Ron. Ahí, funeral marino, jua, jua. Dice, horno, solo salados, con un padre diabético, pues mira, no es plan. Yo decía, quiero pasteles, tartas, bizcochos, no. A mí me suministra muestras mi amiga Connie Aiskel, futura pastelera, ole. Ah, mira, en esta vida hay que tener amigos en todas partes, ¿eh? Dices, tener un amigo médico, un amigo juez, un amigo policía, ¿eh? Una amiga pastelera, es importante, es importante. Dice Ru H. Montero, dice, el ricachón este vio la peli, es una peli, ¿no?, la de ratas a la carrera, y ha hecho una adaptación a la vida real. Que yo di poniendo dineritos por ahí y todos buscando, ¡ah!, como locos, sí. Bueno, si me dijeras que tiene una cámara para ir viendo a la gente por ahí como las locas, pues no sé. Dice, por cierto, si dejamos a un lado los precocinados en rollo pizza, canelones y tal, los bizcochos me quedan estupendos. Mi abuela bien, por cierto, me alegro mucho, corazón.
Dice Doctor de Dani Palma, dice, el horno, a mí lo único bueno que me sale es calentar la pizza. 8 minutos, jaja, te lo has currado, ¿eh? Te lo has currado, que lo flipen. Más, más por aquí, a ver, Laura Viu la Vida dice, a ver, esto de las gincanas, a ver dónde está el mensaje que lo he perdido. En campamento era, ¿no? Sí, que, a ver, que se, uy, el Twitter, ¿cómo estamos hoy? ¿Cómo estamos hoy? Que va un poco tontorrón. La mejor gincana, dice Laura, dice la gincana guarra de los campamentos. Te lo pasas pipa. Y digo yo, pues claro, esto, pero la gincana guarra, ¿cómo es eso? Entonces pasa a explicarme lo que está. Colacao con mantequilla, harina, toda clase de cosas que salen por ahí revoloteando, ¿no? Sí. Pintura, eso, las yemas de los huevos. Dice, imagínate, lo acabas súper pringado de todo. Nata y venga. Pues sí, a guarrería sí que suena. Alberto, a ver si te podemos poner tu canción esta noche para que no te quedes dormido, hijo mío. Que me dices que me voy a quedar frito con la hipocacina. Eso no se hace, ni se dice. Y encima no se hace esto otro, que es ponernos los dientes más largos de lo que ya los tenemos los vampiros, diciéndonos que te vas de vacaciones. Jodido, qué suerte. Ahí nos queda todavía un buen ratito. Oye, que llega el flashback después de este Fantastic Shine. Los Love of Lesbian. Passing by the crowd, joy can rise from the dark as a flashing.
De la reina Bambi, arroba J. Tomasoro, arroba JTHOMASORO.
Ahora sí que sí, nos despedimos con el último flashback del mes de mayo, este día 30. Momento de nostalgia musical, de historietas increíbles de esos artistas que nos han acompañado durante tantos años. A ver qué sorpresas nos dan. este último día del mes que nos toca aquí. Año 66, a ver, una vocecilla. Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor. Dolly Parton. Ay, partiendo la pana. Sí, esta cantante de country y compositora se casaba tal día como hoy con Carl Dean en la ciudad de Catoosa, sí, en el condado, perdón, de Catoosa, Georgia. Qué bonito el amor musical, sí. En el 92 también se casaba el cantante y compositor Paul Simon. Lo hacía con otra vocalista, Edie Brickell. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard, I need a photo opportunity. Este 30 de mayo del 2004, con esos 4 minutes, Madonna se vio forzada. Pues parezco Arturo Valls con los chistes malos. Se vio forzada a pagar 250.000 libras en bueno, un caso, en un juicio que tuvo por copiarle ideas al ya fallecido Guy Burton, un fotógrafo francés de fotografía erótica, y ella admitió que en su vídeo para la canción Hollywood se inspiró, copió a Burton. Y por lo tanto le tuvo que pagar por derechos esos 250.000 libras, para que veáis, ¿eh? Las ideas valen dinero y no se pueden coger así como así sin más. También se coge música y se cuelga en internet. Fue el caso de los Coldplay en el 2005. Su último álbum, su nuevo álbum, que estaba a punto de salir al mercado, salió antes de lo previsto, una semana en concreto, por internet en el Reino Unido. Esto ocurrió cuando enviaron copias a las emisoras de radio del Reino Unido. Y claro, una vez que alguien tiene una copia, pues ya no... ¿Qué pasa? ¿Y no te puedes fiar de nadie? Esto no puede ser. Britney Spears había tocado fondo, por lo visto, en el 2007. Al menos eso es lo que dijo ella cuando entró en un centro de desintoxicación. En realidad entró en el centro de desintoxicación a principios de ese 2007, pero a estas alturas del mes de mayo ya admitía que es que había llegado a un punto en el que necesitaba ayuda. Dejó ese mensaje en su página web diciendo que no sabía qué hacer consigo misma, estaba un poco perdida después de separarse de su marido Kevin Federline. Con 25 años, estar perdido es tremendo. Bueno, una carrera impresionante la de Britney, por aquello de que empezó como una niña y no paró, así que a los 25 ya había recorrido bastante, y en esa situación se encontraba. Fue cuando se cortó todo el pelo, se rapó la cabeza y se quedó ahí como el millo. Unos cuantos cumpleaños para hoy, muchas felicidades si es el tuyo. Este 30 de mayo lo compartes con Stephen Duffy, cantante, compositor, guitarrista y miembro fundador de los Duran Duran con John Taylor y Nick Rhodes. También vino al mundo tal día como hoy en el 64 Tom Morello, guitarrista de los Rage Against the Machine. Y también cumpleaños hoy el gran CeeLo Green. Que cumple 40 tacos hoy. Felicidades a CeeLo Green. Por cierto, una curiosidad. La canción de Pharrell Williams, Happy, esa que tanto nos gusta, y que llevamos ya desde las Navidades más o menos pinchándola, pues en principio iba a ser interpretada, de hecho se grabó y todo, por CeeLo Green. Pero al final la compañía de discos se decidió que no, que Pharrell. No dudo de que hubiese sido también un éxito de CeeLo. Si tengo curiosidad, bueno, hasta Pharrell Williams dice que la versión de CeeLo es mejor que la suya. O sea, tengo mucha curiosidad. A ver si algún día sale a la luz esa versión de CeeLo Green. Pues felicidades, 40 tacos. Ya sabéis que perteneció a Gnarls Barkley. Rap, R&B, soul y funk. Lo hace de todo, es productor también. Vamos a escuchar ese gran éxito de CeeLo. We'll be right back.
Yeah, kids. Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB Stony Brook. It is 7:03 in the p.m. And we're going to be riding right through all music right through 9 p.m. We're going to be touching on some new releases, some new songs from Bob Dylan along with their counterparts by Mr. Sinatra in our preview of what special is going to be happening on February 3rd. A few of those songs. 35th anniversary of the Pretenders' first album today. We're going to be touching a little on that and a little tip of the hat to Mr. Kim Fowler. All right here on WUSB Stony Brook on Finn's Revolution. Stay tuned.
full moon and empty arms. The moon is there for us to share, but where are you? A night like this could weave a memory, and every kiss could start a dream for two. Full moon and empty arms. Tonight I'll use the magic moon to wish upon. And next full moon, if my one wish comes true, my empty arms will be filled with you. Full moon and empty arms. Tonight I'll use the magic moon to wish upon. And next full moon, if my one wish comes true, my empty arms.